Can we clap to our God, the King of Kings? Let's clap to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be praised and worthy to be lifted up. Amen, amen. It's great to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for leading us, and thank you for this holy communion that unites us. And I hope that you feel united with the rest of the Christians across the world as you celebrate this holy table. And we have the privilege this morning from the Lord. And I pray that God is going to bless us this morning. This was a very wonderful week. Over the last 2 years or so, we've been into the pandemic time with the COVID-19. And we've experienced new things, staying home longer, those who can stay. Those who cannot, you know that you need to stay at home, but you still go out because your work requires you to go out. So there are new things that have happened. One of the things that have happened is the remote working. Many of us have been on Zoom, on meetings with people that you've never met. One of the things that you notice is that what you see on the screen is not actually what is happening on the other side of the screen. There's a person who did a compilation of people, how they come to Zoom meetings. You can see someone wearing very smart as Pastor Badesire, but if he stands up, you realize that, other things are happening. Some of our friends are online. They are watching the church online, but some are under the blanket in the church online. You've done that, isn't it? Some of the people are in meetings, but it's only the computer that shows that they're in meetings, but they're not there. We had an experience in a meeting. There were around 20 people in the meeting, and when they asked the question and everyone had to answer, we realized that there were 5 people who had their computers on, but they were never in the meeting. So we've come to a generation where you can even see people's social media feed. They give you a story. But we need to realize that we're in a time where what we see is not what we get. What we see is not worth all that there is. We've come into a generation of appearance where people can appear to be smart on a screen when they are not actually smart. When people can appear to be eating some good food when it's not their food, they just took the pictures with the food and post the picture and then go eat some other food. But we give an impression and we feed into other people's story and we think that that's what is happening in people's life. So today's topic is short. We want to look beyond looking good. As Christians, in this century, in this time of virtual reality, in this time where things have been shifted, are we able to go beyond looking good? Are we able to go beyond an appearance that we've so worked out that it tells a story? What is it that is behind the facade that we may be wearing? What is it that is behind our social media feed? What is it? Do we have something authentic? Do we have something real? Do we have something that is transformational beyond appearance? All of you are smart, but beyond your smartness, what is it that we can find there? That's what we are going to look at. In the book of Mark chapter 11, if you can turn there with me, I'm going to read a few verses and then tell the rest of the story because it's a long reading. Mark chapter 11 will be from verse 12 to 25. And this is a familiar scripture where Jesus has had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and things are looking good. And we are told in the next day, Jesus went out and was hungry and he needed something to eat. I'm sure every one of you has experienced needing food at various degree. There are some people when they need food, they can't think anymore. There are some people who get irritated and people have all sorts of reaction. And Jesus wakes up in the morning and he says, I need to eat some food. And he looks at a tree. And the Bible says the tree had green leaves and it gave a lot of hope. Jesus walked to the tree and when he inspected the tree, he found that it had no fruit. Of course, the Bible says it was not the time for the fig tree to bear fruit, but it had no fruit. And Jesus talked to the tree and said, "May you never, never bear fruits again." They go out, another story happened. The next day when they come back, they are walking around that place, and the disciples notice that the tree that Jesus talked to had dried. And they look, they say, "Jesus, look, the tree that you talked to has dried." And Jesus starts talking to them about faith. If you believe, you can move a mountain. If you believe, you can say to this mountain, "Move from here to another place," and it will obey. That's the story that we are looking at today. Look at this tree. How many people do you think this tree had lied to or had misled by being green, flamboyant, and attractive? But when you come closer to the tree, you realize that this is just leaves, but there is nothing. There's no fruit that can be eaten. Jesus reacted extremely, and we can debate the morality of his extreme reaction. Actually, we have one of the atheists, Bertrand Russell, who used this verse to against Christianity. It's a long story, but we can debate the morality of why would you curse a tree which is not in its season. But let's hear, we see what lessons we can learn from this tree. One of the things that has happened with people disappointing us is that we've come to a point of lowering our expectations on people so that we don't get disappointed anymore. It's a coping mechanism that people use. For people who are married and those who are in friendships, the person disappoints you too much that you lower the bar so that you don't get disappointed anymore. Whatever they do, you're like, "Okay, I knew it was going to happen." Some of us have done that. You've corrected someone over and over, and you know they will never change. You learn to live with that part of them. As they say, if you can't cut a tree, learn to do what? To live with it. And let me tell you that the world has also lowered their bar on Christians. Many Christians, many believers have so disappointed the world that they have decided we will not hold a high expectations on these Christians. So that when there is a scandal that happens to a Christian, people did not get surprised anymore. If any of you hear that there was this, you know, Christian, prominent Christian who was involved in some dubious things, no one of you will get surprised. You're like, "Okay, that's people." The reason is because of lack of fruit, because of lack of performance, we have lowered our bar so that we don't get disappointed. But what is it that we can start doing as Christians that can help us to surprise the world so that they can know that we still bear fruits, as our Lord Jesus calls us to do in John chapter 15, that if we remain in him and his word remain in him, in us, we will bear much fruit and the Father will be glorified through our bearing fruit. Beyond our appearance, beyond our Christian name, if people come closer to us, what is it that they should see? What is it that should surprise them? Even when they've lowered the expectations on us, what is it that they should find and say, "Wow, I think I underestimated the capacity of these people to make a difference"? I want to propose you three things that we can start doing, or we can start showing the world, and that will be a message that we have something to offer. We have fruits to deliver. Number one is divine wisdom. The more people come to closer to us, the more they should realize that the few things that we say on social media are just the tip of the iceberg. But deeper, we are much more wiser than we appear outside. I want to challenge you as Christians. As people approach you, do they find more wisdom in your life, or they get more disappointed because of lack of wisdom? The fruit that we should produce as Christians, as believers, especially in our century, where people don't believe or blah, 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 is to have authentic wisdom. As people come closer to us, they should find content. They should find wisdom. As Gomaville, we are known as a church, English service, a French service, and we do a lot of things in this city. When people come closer to us, what is it that they see? When people get involved, when people get to our homes, what is it that they see? Do they find more wisdom? That's the first gauge that you should use. In your workplace, when people come closer to you, do they find more wisdom or they find stupidity and all sorts of disorder in your life? I've given myself that challenge. Even as I'm preaching here, I may say beautiful words, but if you are given an opportunity to enter the innermost part of my life and live with me, I want you to be challenged by the depth of wisdom that the Lord has taught me. That's the challenge I'm also throwing to you. Beyond the appearance, beyond what people can see outside, when they come closer, let them find divine wisdom. An example in John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and she goes out and tells all her people, I've met the Lord, I've met the Messiah. And they come and they beg Jesus to stay with them. Jesus stays with them a few days, and then they end up saying, we now believe, not because you told us, but because we have heard ourselves and we have seen by ourselves. You see the difference? The Samaritan woman goes and gives a testimony. The people are attracted to Jesus by the testimony. They bring Jesus in. But when they hear Jesus, they throw away the testimony of the Samaritan woman. They say, we have our own reason to believe. When people hear about your faith, about your church, about your company, about whatever you're doing, if they come closer, would they have their own reason to believe because of what they've heard? That's number one. If we want to go beyond appearance, let's go deeper into divine wisdom. Number two is character. We need to build character and be people of character. Character, if you want to gauge your character, just look at Galatians chapter 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit. More love, more humility, more self-control, more kindness. All those are things that we need to build in ourselves. If you feel that you see that you are missing any of those characters, you need to go back and say, Lord, help me. Help me build a character that will withstand anything. Some of you know that we've created a new group of people called influencers. People who influence. You know, there are some people whom their dream is to become influencers. And I'm like, what? That's what you want to become? Yes, I want to become an influencer. But if you look at the lives of many of those people who are called influencers, you'll find that what they're doing is not authentic. Some of them became influencers because they're doing something authentic, but it has become a new trend that we are falling into. What I want is not Christianity, going to church, or being a believer to become a new trend, a new thing that is on style. Number one, the fruit of divine wisdom. Number two, the fruit of character. And the last one is the fruit of faith. I think the power is so much that it's draining the battery, because the power is coming out with power and it's draining the battery. Okay, anyways, faith, we most of the time confuse faith with hope. Sometimes we hope that something will happen when we think it's faith. I've seen that a lot in myself and in many people, confusing faith and hope. Hope is what you think might happen, but it's not faith. Faith is acting on what God has said because He said it. It's a huge difference. Hope, you can hope while sleeping, but you cannot have faith while doing nothing. Faith is an action word. Hope is a passive word. It's like I'm here, I'm hoping that this microphone will hold, but I don't have faith. I'm not putting my faith into the microphone because it may not. and I may need to change, but my hope is that it works. So hope is a less powerful word because it's just in the areas of wishes. Like the way people come to your birthday, I wish you live 120 years and you're already 50. But they wish it, they hope that you read more 150 years so you become like 200 years old. You will not take that seriously. You know it's just hope. It's just a wish. I mean, if you take it seriously, you may be taken someplace. That means something is wrong with you. But hope, faith, is the ability to act on a word that Jesus has said. Faith is an action word. You cannot have faith if you are not into action. That means you don't believe. An example, Jesus tells the disciples, go before me, I'm staying back. They go on the boat, there's this raging storm that comes, and they are panicking, they are throwing water out of the boat, and Jesus comes walking on the water. The disciples looked at Jesus, and some of them think that the ghost is a ghost, and he says, it's me, it's Jesus. And Peter asks Jesus, can I join you? Can you see the difference? He asks, can I join you? And Jesus bids him come. When Jesus says the words come, Peter acts on the word and steps on the water and starts walking. That is faith. The moment he starts hoping that he will stay on water, he starts sinking. Because he's replacing the action that he applied on the word into some wish that the water could hold him. Do you have faith or do you have hope? Now, I'm not saying hope is bad. It's good to have hope. But I want us to go beyond hope and have faith as a fruit. What has Jesus said or God said about your life that you need to act on because you believe? What has Jesus or God said that you need to go out blindly and act on because you believe? We see this crisis in the life of Naaman. When he is told, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan by the prophet Elisha, I think. That's the word. He hopes to get healed, but they say, go and wash 7 times. Until he acted 7 times, that's when the miracle came. And you know, the 6th time, he was still looking a person with leprosy. But he was acting on the word. And the 7th time, he was healed. So, beyond looking good, beyond appearance. Let's be Christians who go beyond what we saw on social media. Please continue posting. I'm not discouraging that. I'm just challenging you to have something deeper to show beyond what we can see. Number one, have deeper wisdom, divine wisdom. Let people approach you and find that they have been seeing the seashores. But depth, there is depth of wisdom. Go for wisdom, seek wisdom, and grow in wisdom. And let that be a fruit, a testimony, as people come closer to you. To you as a person, to us as a church, as your organization, whatever you are involved in. Character. May the Lord help us build the fruit of character, the fruit of the Spirit, so that as people approach us, if all that I'm saying here, then do not hold any water. If you come closer to me and you find there is no love, there is no humility, there is no all these fruits that the Spirit should produce. And lastly is faith, the ability to act on what God has said. And there is nothing more powerful to the world today as showing them what we can do. And that is the result of our action driven by our faith. May God bless you, and may you go beyond looking good. God bless you.